Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome to the shores of El Pacifico, the Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. The Phil Henry Show has gone through a great many evolutions, a great many stages. The Phil Henry Radio Show, a show that we're very proud of, has in a lot of ways, we've revolutionized the business, but the show is so difficult to do and so difficult to imitate and duplicate that in a lot of ways it's been... I think it's been sort of the way, in a smaller, much, much smaller universe, in a lot of ways, it's been the way Howard Stern's show was dealt with in the initial stages, which was people just hoped it would go away. You know, they ignored it and they hoped it would go away because it was just, you know, too much of a pain in the neck. Well, our radio show isn't going to go away because we've never done this show for anything other than the fact that it's fun, or at times it's fun. So on the 24th of June... when we leave TRN, the Talk Radio Network, we're going to go one of three places, or maybe all three at once. We're going to go to either terrestrial radio, continue on with our terrestrial show, continue at least in the traditional radio platform of terrestrial, or to satellite, or we'll be a digital show, and we're going to support it with a one-man show, a theatrical show. But the show is going to be here, and the show is going to be accessed by a larger and larger community of listeners and people that access entertainment who are familiar with the digital platform on the internet, using it by way of mobile technology and so forth. So we feel fortunate and, you know, maybe smarter than the average bear that we saw this happening a number of years ago and got ourselves in a position to take advantage of it. Now, the economy, to the extent that it may be turning around, and I don't know, I mean, you know, it could be not. I don't want to make the prediction, but to the extent that the economy's turning around, if that's the case, then we've got a pretty good opportunity here to, if you guys are looking for a place to, a new place to go and enjoy the audio medium, then our radio show is the place. Because, you know, there's no FCC. There's no law telling me that I got to run commercials at 60 seconds. I can run them at 10 seconds if I want. I can embed them in the program. I can do whatever I want to do. And that's what we're doing now with our pre-show, with our video cast. So I don't want to draw this thing out.
Yeah, you've got a show to do, you know.
I know I have a show to do.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, well, watch out, man.
I'm sorry.
Don't talk to Mr. Henry that way, but you do need to get to it.
I'm going to get to it. I'm just, you know, letting people know. I want to let people know what's happening at the end of the run, okay?
Yeah, you're ending your run and you're going on to one of three platforms and you're going to do the one-man show and so on and so forth, so...
Well, excuse me.
Yeah, just get to it.
Hey, man, I already heard you say that once. Anyway, so that's what's happening. Thank you. PhilHenryShow.com for all your rock and roll needs. Just head over to philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass. We'll tell you all about it. The other thing is that tomorrow night, because we are engaged in elsewhere activities, I'm going to be engaged in the world of elsewhere. There won't be any Saturday night movie. We're not going to run the Saturday night movie. We've got a lot of people going a lot of different places.
Well, you have a lot of people that look forward to that.
Yeah, a lot of shut-ins that like it.
What do you mean a lot of shut-ins?
Well, we got a lot of people, you know, that are shut in.
What does that mean, shut in?
I don't know. I mean, you're shut in.
The shut in is some... You don't know what a shut in is.
Well, I don't know what they mean in the context of... we're not running our movie on Saturday night. Oh, that's terrible because there's a lot of shut ins.
Shut in is somebody's shut... They're shut in.
No kidding.
Well, they can't get out or something.
No, they can get out, you fools. It's that they... A shut in is someone who can get out... But no one wants them out, no.
Well, that's hardly a good description.
Sure, no, I know what a shut-in is. A shut-in is someone that got shut in, and they want to be shut in, but even they can't kick the door.
It's got nothing to do with the physical door not being able to be opened, all right?
Why are they called a shut-in?
Why are they called a shut-in? They're a shut-in. I think it's because they voluntarily shut themselves in.
Well, is it because they've got a physical tick? Do they walk with that... You know what I call the Mother Goose shoe limp.
Yeah, they do that.
What's the Mother Goose shoe limp?
When you get the big heel because one leg is that much shorter.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? You don't even know what she's talking about.
No, you don't know, man.
Yeah, I do. I've seen a guy The one guy did the Mother Goose limp.
No, now the Mother Goose dip.
What's the Mother Goose dip? Would you guys speak English here?
No, the Mother Goose dip or limp, it's the same thing. But it's generally seen when someone's going across a crosswalk, you're stopped, you're at a red light, and you see an individual, and he's the one shoulder goes down, and then normal, down, and then normal.
I've seen that. I've never characterized anything like that as the Mother Goose dip or limp. It's generally just some poor soul who's got a, you know, a limp of some kind caused by some physical malady. And you're trying to tell me that people who listen to our movie on or watch it on a Saturday night on Phil TV and HD, those are the people that are watching it with the Mother Goose...
Mother Goose dip.
And why the Mother Goose?
What do you mean, why the Mother Goose? Where are you...
Why are you calling it that?
On account of shoe.
Yeah, the Mother Goose shoe.
What's the Mother Goose shoe, man?
It's the big heel.
I mean, like the old ladies. Okay. You guys had better start either speaking English or get the English that you do speak improved upon or teach me whatever it is that you guys are speaking because I sure don't know what it is.
What did you eat, man? You're like belching.
I had a salad, okay, and I'm belching because of the Coke. All right?
No, it's no, I don't detect garlic tonight.
That's very nice. You know, Margaret, sometimes you let loose with one, and I can't even, in the name of God, I don't know what you had to eat.
Yeah, no kidding.
What are you talking about?
I'm just telling you. You know, there's some nights when you come in here and let a belch go, and I'm thinking, was it roadkill?
How dare you? Is there toilet paper?
Yes, ma'am.
There she goes, off to the bathroom.
That's right.
All right, well, let's get started here tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. A lot of weird news. Every night there's weird news. Every night there's something that's happening that we wish hadn't happened. Every night there's something happening that maybe is something that we'd like to have continue to happen. There's all kinds of basketball news, and it doesn't have anything to do with basketball. One of them is Steve Nash, the basketball star whose ex-wife is claiming that he has banned her from Los Angeles to avoid paying child support. In the latest update in the child custody battle between Steve Nash and his ex-wife, Alejandro Amaria, she claims her former husband won't let her move from Phoenix to Los Angeles so that he can avoid paying child support, according to court documents obtained by TMZ. Although Amaria had said in December that Nash did not want her to move to L.A. with the three children, it was unclear whether it was true at the time. Last month, TMZ claimed that the L.A. Laker point guard did not want to pay support because Amaria had already received a substantial amount as part of their divorce settlement. Nash also reportedly provides funds for his children's expenses, and according to TMZ, if he pays more, she will spoil and damage the kids with crazy luxuries. So what he's basically saying is there was a settlement that included large cash payout, and that the kids' expenses are being taken care of so that any extra child support is unnecessary, and he probably suspects that she wants it to augment her spousal support. Is that true? We don't know. Of all the things to publicly debate, divorces, divorce settlements, what people want, it's the most pointless. But there it is, and we have to bring it to you, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Nash and his wife.
And their ugly divorce.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhenryshow.com. Make sure that you get a backstage pass, watch our live-streaming video of the show tonight, and a programming word for you guys. This evening, we may only go 1 hour live, given a commitment that I have tomorrow, a very, very early recording date with about a 2.5-hour drive to get to it. But we'll keep you abreast of that as we move along. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL online at philhenryshow.com. Let's go to Alf. Take a phone call here just to kind of, I just feel like taking a phone call, you know.
Well, you need to get that little bit of momentum going?
I don't know. I'm just not really, I don't know what it is. Everything in the news is pissing me off. And it's not any kind of a pissed off feeling. Put the gentleman on hold, will you? Put him on hold, bud.
Which one?
The guy that's... The line's open.
Oh.
Hold on, sir. Hold on.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. Hold on, okay?
Right.
Put him on hold, bud.
Which guy?
That guy that I just talked to.
Oh, the one that was... The line that was open.
Bud, question,
No, I gotta go get a CAT scan.
No, not that. Do you use drugs before you come into work?
No.
You're not even interested why I asked?
Not really.
That might be a yes.
Yeah, I bet that's a yes.
No, I don't use drugs before I come into work. But I know it seems like it.
Yeah, it sure does, man. All right, so what can we do? What did you want to say?
I'm just you're very impatient tonight.
I'm just not really, I don't want to talk about any of this garbage. I don't know. I'm feeling weird. I feel almost as if I'm going to, if I was out in public, people would probably call the police and have me, you know.
Like if you were standing near a railing of the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, that would be a very good time to call somebody to pull me away from the railing. I'm kidding. Go ahead, Alf. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, you know, I want to tell you, this program that you do, for me, is one of the great things in life. I get on the home, and then I come home, and I get on my home, and I straddle the radio, and I'll go in the kitchen, and generally I'm going to lay with my dinner.
Hold on for a minute.
What are you talking about?
Hold on for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
What did you say? You lay with your dinner.
Yeah. When I straddle home and I lay down with my dinner, and I absolutely enjoy putting my finger in your show, and you know what it does? It causes me to throw up with glee. I guess is the way to say it. You know.
You're using a lot of non-traditional ways of.
Yes, sir. This is Margaret Gray.
Yeah, well, Margaret, I think you're so moist.
Hold on for a minute.
What does that mean?
Hold on for a minute. You're using a lot of non-traditional ways of communicating. Not non-traditional ways, but you're using non-traditional words, sir?
Well, you know, I grew up, my parents believed that we could be able to gag better, you know?
What does gag better mean?
You talk about, like gag?
Yeah, you know what I mean, right?
He means, like, communicate.
Well, how do you know this?
Well, it's, I can't explain it, but when you're born and your parents want to make sure that you know how to communicate because they think there's something wrong with you.
Did your parents think there was something wrong with you?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know why I asked that.
Well, that's obvious.
Yeah, and they teach you different, they will teach you a different fan on how you can sling.
Yeah, what he means is they teach you different ways of talking so you can communicate.
Right.
Well, can you communicate in a normal way, sir?
Oh, I think if you ask, for instance, I can tell you, like, right there, I said, for instance, you know what that means, right?
I think it means as an example.
No. For instance is where I live.
For instance, teddy bear.
Okay, Reseda.
He lives in Reseda.
What do you mean, for instance, teddy bear? Hold on. What does that mean?
In other words, I said, where do you live?
How do you know, for instance, teddy bear means where do you live?
On account I learned how to talk this way.
And this was something that parents taught kids that they thought were going to have a hard time in life.
Yeah. And my parents thought, my dad was a reporter for the Old Herald Examiner. Do you remember a newspaper called that?
Yeah, yeah. I remember a deadly website, you know?
Deadly website.
Yeah, he met the Herald Examiner.
What language is this, anyway?
I don't know, man. It's probably called, I think they ought to call it crippled in the head. Crippled from the neck up.
Shut up! You don't even know what you're talking about.
That don't mean like anybody talking, crippled from the neck up.
And you got a parking ticket there, huh?
That's what he means. Black guy means parking ticket.
What are you talking about?
Parking ticket?
Yeah, that's what we call a black guy.
What do you mean that's what we call a black guy? What country is this? What culture is this? Did you guys, is this some kind of a some sort of a subculture? What is it, man?
I can't, hold on. Alf.
Yeah.
parking ticket where they massaged you.
Oh, okay.
What'd you say?
I said you're a good guy. I said that you're a good guy.
Well, there's no boiling if they boil it. And if you boil it and you leave it out overnight.
Yeah, what he's saying is he's not trying to say you're a bad guy. He just wondered if you're black.
Yeah, I'm black, man. And you know what? I may, from time to time, lapse into Ebonics, but I've never heard anything goofier than the way you're talking right now. You understand that?
Well, you see, they are shimmering. And on the lake, you can see the mountains from the land.
No, oh, hold on. What does that mean? Is he saying the Our Father or something?
No. He's just saying that he understands your confusion, but it's far more comfortable for him to talk like that.
Well, what if you weren't here?
Hey, Elf.
Yep.
Stock car racing?
Oh, the shave day. Shave her daily.
He'd say he'd probably be able to get by with regular English.
What is shave her daily? You gotta be kidding me, man.
What they did was take the band and they gave him a lap band surgery.
Yeah, he's saying that you're the host of the show, Mr. Henry. Obviously, he's having a good time.
I didn't hear my name in there.
Alf, Derringer, Rick Derringer.
Oh, Shoeless.
He did say your name, but he used Phil instead of Philip.
What the hell? I didn't hear my name, Phil. What part of what he just said was Phil?
Alf, Shoeless Rick Derringer.
Lip gloss.
Lip gloss.
I didn't hear him say lip gloss.
When he said Shoeless, lip or lip gloss.
Okay, that's it.
But wait a minute.
Hey, Phil,
I'm going to go nuts having to listen to that.
Well, Phil, I think it's an opportunity to study a subcultural phenomenon in this country heretofore unknown. I think there was an opportunity for Scholastica investigation, and you missed it.
I'm doing a radio show. I'm doing a radio show, and I got to understand what people are saying to me. And thank God Bud's here. You know what, Bud? I got to hand it to you, man. That was fantastic. You knew what the guy was saying. How did you know?
Well, I mean, I've talked to guys like that. Every now and again, you meet a guy. Guy's just like you. Guy that's, you know, just trying to get by and everything. And he's talking in the that subspeak or whatever you want to call it. We always call it subspeak, or we used to call it internees.
Subspeak or internees. And it was something that parents taught kids that they thought. Anyway, Alf, thank you very much for your call. I don't know what to say about that other than thank God you, because I didn't understand a word. Now, here's a guy here. Brad Pitt faces blindness. Actor Brad Pitt.
Tonio with the ribs and rib sauce. He wanted to know if you could talk about Brad Pitt.
Tonio's with the rib sauce. Can I talk about Brad Pitt?
No, I mean, that's what that means.
I know that's what that means.
This is fascinating. Go ahead, put him on the air.
Hey, Alf, it's Phil Hendry.
Tonio's in the rib sauce?
Yeah, dump and go dump in the parking lot.
Okay. Mr. Henry.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Wait. Hold on for a minute.
Yep.
I thought my name was Lips or Lip Gloss.
Oh, no, that's Phil.
No, the Lip Gloss, Henry.
Go ahead.
The rib sauce, but they had a portion of it where you go dump in the parking lot. You dump in the parking lot, of course.
Yeah, he's saying Brad Pitt has what's called face blindness because he has a memory problem. That's mostly what I mean.
Yeah, okay, well, thanks a lot.
Well, have you ever...
Why are you hanging up on him?
The guy's bugging me. He's just... I can't talk to him. Why would I even want to talk to him? He's a caller with an opinion.
But you can study, Phil,
Never mind about the scholastic opportunity here, okay? I can't understand if a guy's talking about rib sauce and taking a dump in the parking lot. And what does all that mean? Brad Pitt has face blindness. That's weird enough. Brad Pitt having face blindness is strange enough than having to talk with this cat.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you what are you doing.
Yeah, okay, great, thanks. By the way, Brad Pitt is 49. Wow. Actor Brad Pitt suspects he suffers from face blindness. The 49-year-old star believes he suffers from some kind of whacked out disease, anyway, it's a medical condition that prevents people from recognizing faces. You got to be kidding me. It's called prosopagnosia. Are you kidding?
I didn't say it.
The actor says people hate me because they think I'm disrespecting them. He has not officially been diagnosed with the disorder, but plans to get tested. What if he doesn't have it, that he's just forgetful and he doesn't care about anybody's face but his own? That can suck. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, there you go, the parking lot. Go to the parking lot.
Would you hang up on him?
Golem.
Uh-oh, he just told you to stick it. How did he tell me to stick it? Golem.
Phil Henry. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler is going to join us to talk a little bit more here about this so-called malady that Brad Pitt suffers from. I had the word here a moment ago. I don't know that it's called. Oh, here, prosopagnosia. Dr. Sadler is in San Diego. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
Oh, Phil, very good. Thank you for having me on your program.
This is a situation. It's a symptom, a situation. It's a malady. I don't want to call it a disease. Is it a disease?
Say that again, Phil.
Yeah, you said disease.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you sound like you've got prognosia or something.
No. It's called.
I know. I'm just giving him a hard time because Mr. Henry went.
All right. Now that we've established that I was going a little too fast.
No, I understood what you said, Phil. You wanted to know is prosopagnosia a disease per se, as opposed to a malady or a condition? It can be an abnormal condition and not necessarily be a disease.
Give us an example of something that is not a disease, but it is an abnormality.
Well, I would say, for instance, if someone was born with six toes, and we've had that from time to time. There's nothing too terribly unusual about that. It can be something that can give the individual a difficult time in terms of mobility. But we would not call that a disease so much as...
Yeah, like a freak.
No. We would not call that a freak.
You don't use words like freak, bud.
Yeah, but isn't it kind of like what they'd have in a circus?
There might have been a time when they did that, but fortunately, we're much more enlightened now as a people, and we don't treat people like that. It bothers me when he says that because we're not freaks.
What do you mean, we?
Is this something you have, Dr. Sadler?
Well, I have. I've got six toes on one of my feet.
No wonder that you talk like you're because of the tongue.
Yeah, right. I got all kinds of problems in your book. Is that right, Mr. Dykman?
My name's Dickman, Bud Dickman.
All right, well, how about if I just say it's Dykman? How about if I just do that?
Well, then you'll be acting childishly.
I'm acting... Oh, God, that's good. I come on here...
All right, let's not get bogged down in a little kind of a back and forth here. Dr. Sadler, I had no idea you have six toes. And I'm not judging you.
Well, I should hope. How can you judge someone with? I don't want them as part of my political campaign because they have six toes. You know, that's the way they used to think back in the medieval times. They don't think that way no more.
No, I understand that. I'm saying I'm not judging you that way, and I'm not judging. And your speech impediment, which is the result of that lion taming injury, I understand that.
Yeah, but I noticed that every time you bring it up, you have to make sure everyone gets the gag that it was a lion taming accident.
Yeah, well, that's what it was.
Why am I speaking to this guy?
But why don't you be quiet while I interview the guest?
Yeah, I think you're wrong.
Well, I may be wrong, but that's my job.
That's what Tommy Lasorda said.
Yeah, I remember that from the 78 series.
All right, okay. I may be wrong, but I'll be wrong. So let's move on, Dr. Sadler. We're talking here about this condition, and I think the question was good. I think you answered it very, very well, which is it a disease? Is it a malady? Is it just an abnormal condition? You're saying what?
Well, I think when you can't recognize someone's face, you may make the claim that it's for the better. I personally would, I think I sort of recoil from that, because I've had any number of individuals, you know, not recognize me at professional conventions and seminars, and they've claimed prosopagnosia. And in each instance, and I said to one of the doctors, a professional, I said, you know, if you want to yank the other one, there's bells on it. Yank the other one, there's bells on it?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, you're saying, in other words, this was pulled on you and you don't believe it.
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. When someone says, let's go get drinks, and they pretend like they don't recognize you, when you finally say, I'm Dr. Jim Sadler, why aren't you inviting me for drinks? Oh, I'm sorry, I've got prosopagnosia. I didn't, they're hoping that I'll just blow. Like, we were at a convention in San Diego, and I was with a group of doctors that were going to go over to the Hyatt, the Grand Hyatt, to get cocktails. And they said, let's go. And the one guy said, not you, pal. I don't, blow. He looked at me and pointed at me, in fact, and said, you blow. And
Wait a minute. This is a group of doctors.
That's right. It's
that is absolutely outrageous behavior, Dr. Sadler. I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
Oh, it's perfectly all right. I mean, I see it all the time. Then they find out who I am, and they'll say, are you the Dr. Sadler that's on the television and on the radio? And I go, yeah, now how do you feel about it? And, oh, boy, the butt licking and the butt kissing that starts then.
Doesn't end, huh?
No, it doesn't end. So, but they do claim this prosopagnosia. Now, I said to Clark Beverly, who was one of the doctors, he was the one that pointed at me and said, you blow. I said, you claiming to have, he said, yeah, I couldn't remember your face. I'm really sorry. And I said, why don't I believe you? And he said, because you're a douchebag. I said, why would you call me a douchebag after you claim not to recognize my face? He said, because I've got this prosopagnosia. Why don't you believe me? I'm suffering with a malady. And I said, I'm suffering from a malady, too. I'm having to look at your face, and I know who you are. And that got a laugh, and that kind of relaxed the tension.
Okay, so where are we going here? Where are we going?
Where are we going? I'm telling you that I got back to the Hyatt to have a drink with these guys.
Why would you want to drink with these men after they'd humiliated you?
It was just to make my point. So I went back over there.
Okay, I understand all about that, but this, I'm still trying to figure out, does this condition exist?
Brad Pitt's got it.
I understand Brad Pitt has it. I should say, is it a disease? Is it a...
Well, look, I mean, there are a few revelations about prosopagnosia or face blindness. You must be tested for the disorder. But face blindness is Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who is with CNN, spoke with Dr. Oliver Sacks, who's a neurologist, and even Sacks said that he had trouble recognizing his own face. And that was something that helped me immensely, because I suffered from that, getting up in the morning and looking in the mirror and wondering who is that, you see?
Whoa, wait a minute.
Woo! It's real weird.
You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you don't recognize yourself.
It's not that I don't recognize myself. It's that I just wonder who the guy is in the mirror. You see what I'm saying?
Well, if the guy in the mirror is you, right?
The guy in the mirror is me. And I know I'm me. And I know that the guy in the mirror is, well, to put it another way, I know the guy in the mirror knows who I am, but I don't.
You know the guy in the mirror knows who you are, but you don't.
That's correct. That's what prosopagnosia is. It's recognizing that you don't know who you are. You're looking in the mirror, and that face is strictly, you don't know it, you know. And there have been times, of course, a lot of people say, well, I wish I could suffer from that disease because I don't want to know my own face. You know, I'd rather, and I'd say, well, you and me both, pal. Ha, ha, ha. That breaks some of the tension. See, so I would say.
Wait, let's get back to this whole thing. We're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler, folks, about what Brad Pitt claims he suffers from, a condition called prosopagnosia, that's it, prosopagnosia, or face blindness. Now, this is where you cannot recognize faces. Suddenly, they just... is it psychological?
It may be psychological. There's a lot going on with a face. There's not just the eyes and the mouth and the ears and everything that's a face. There's also the person behind it. There's the personality behind it. And a lot of times you're going to get knocked off, you know, you kind of get knocked off course a little bit when you look at a few faces. You immediately start thinking, oh, yeah, I got to go to this meeting, or, oh, that face recognizes this or that, or, you know, this, or there's that face again. And if you look in a mirror and you look at your own face, what face is going to cause you more problems than your own? So,
This is all incumbent or contingent, I should say, on the belief that a person's face is something they don't like to see.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I think, frankly, that I've got a very nice. I think I'm very good looking. If you want my honest opinion, and why wouldn't I? When I've got a wife that's 30 years younger than me. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
Yeah. No, I hear you.
So, I think I'm very handsome. And I still don't recognize who I am. And I have said to people, is the face in that mirror looking back at me, is it good looking? And people will say, yeah, sort of. And I'll go, you better give me something, man. You better give it to me now. I remember the line from James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause, you better give me something. And they get scared and they go, well, what do you mean? I said, is that face that's staring back at me in that mirror right now, is it good looking? And they'll suddenly realize they're in big trouble unless they start coming with the straight answers. And some of them will say, because they want to be smartasses anyway, no, it isn't. And then we've got, you know, situation.
Well, all right, now, hold on. If you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you don't recognize your own face, and you say to somebody, do you recognize that face? Is it good looking? And they say, no, it isn't. And you want to beat the guy up. How do you know he's not telling the truth?
I don't. But I've got to kick his ass anyway, because he's saying that he's looking at a face in a mirror, and that's where my face ought to be. That's where my face ought to be. I mean, what happened to my face? See what I'm saying? In other words, if there's a face there and it ain't mine, and it really ain't mine?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. What if it's really not yours?
Well, I mean, that's happened.
What do you mean it's happened? How can that happen?
It happens. Well, you're looking in the mirror and it's not you.
How does that happen? I'd like to know.
Phil, calm down.
No, I'm not going to calm down. How does it happen that you look in a mirror and it's not you?
You look in a mirror and you don't recognize your own face, okay?
Never happened to me, ever.
That's never happened to you?
No.
Do you think you're all a big shot because of that?
No, I don't think I'm a big shot. I think it's very unfortunate that some people have a problem like that. But I've never looked in a mirror and not recognized the face staring back at me, because it's always my own. I've never looked in a mirror and seen a completely different guy there.
Well, I do. About 90% of the time when I look in the mirror, there's a whole different guy there.
Is it a different guy each time?
Yes. Yeah, sometimes he's a redhead. Sometimes he's got brown hair. Sometimes he's got big ears.
Is it all you?
That's why I have to ask a guy. I'll say, is that guy good looking or not?
Well, do you know if it's good looking?
It?
Him.
I don't recognize him. That's all I can tell you.
Well, is it a handsome guy that you don't recognize?
All I see is a face that ain't mine. And any face that isn't mine ain't good.
Well, this is a bizarre condition.
Tell me about it. I mean, I've been suffering from this. So this is what Brad Pitt has. Now, when he looks in the mirror and he doesn't see his own face, that may be something that's good. It may be something that's bad. It may be with the kind of money that he has... an area where they could actually defraud him. So that's what I'm concerned about, Mr. Pitt.
In what way?
If they get a guy in there to look back at Brad Pitt from the mirror, and he says that not only is that not me, but that looks like Nicolas Cage. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so they try to mess with him. They could put him in a nut bin very, very quickly and exploit all of the money that he got.
All right, well, Dr. Sadler, something to think about and something to...
Don't you want to do another segment?
Not really, no, I don't.
Why not?
It's, well, if I have to explain it to you, it's because it's getting weirder and weirder to, you know, keep my hand on what it is we're talking about.
Well, we can talk about something you can keep your hand on. I'm only kidding. I think...
Thanks a lot. Just don't tell him anything. I hung up on him. We'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler, for that very enlightening discussion of something. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Did Obama forget to salute? The president may have forgotten something. He boarded Marine One as he boarded Marine One this morning on his way to the U.S. Naval Academy graduation ceremony on Annapolis. On Annapolis? Or at Annapolis? President Obama didn't return the salute of the Marine standing guard at the door of Marine One as he climbed the steps to the helicopter cabin. Oh, you return the salute when you are a superior officer. Okay. Obama soon ducked his head out, waved to the pilot, and jaunted back down the stairs to address the Marine, shaking his hand. In the short video clip, one can't hear the two men talking, so it's unclear what exactly was said. A faint smile appeared to cross the Marine's face as they exchanged brief words. Obama jogged back up the steps, still not having saluted. While this exchange may seem to be a military faux pas, Obama typically salutes as he boards the Marine One presidential chopper, and salutes aren't a fully closed matter. In 2009, New York Times op-ed Smithsonian Magazine editor and former Marine Kerry Winfrey identified them as a recent phenomenon, one that evoked mixed feelings from him. Whenever I saw a president stepping off a helicopter and bringing hand to brow, my drill instructor's unambiguous words came back to me with much of their original force. Then there were the salutes themselves, which ranged from half-hearted to jaunty. None of them fulfilled the characteristically succinct prescription the Captain Jack O'Donnell of the Marine Corps delivered in 1963 to my platoon, freshly minted second lieutenants. Your salute must be impeccable. All right, so presidents have long been saluted, but they began returning salutes relatively recently. Ronald Reagan was thought to be the first in 1981. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
That Reagan was the first?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, how come a guy in a business suit does it?
The guy in the business suit is a president. He's the commander-in-chief.
Yeah, don't you understand a commander-in-chief?
Then why didn't he wear a uniform?
Because he's a civilian. It represents the civilian leadership of our military. The United States and the United States of America, the American people, are the ultimate commanders through the president of our military. And that's as it should be. And it's worked very, very fine that way. Now, whether or not these guys are returning salutes and all this jazz. So Reagan was the first one. Reagan, Winfrey wrote, consulted the Marine Corps commandant on whether saluting back was appropriate. Marines themselves are taught not to do so out of uniform, and Winfrey raised the obvious point. Presidents in suits and ties are not wearing uniforms, but as commanders-in-chief, they're in charge, and according to the advice Reagan got, he superseded that protocol and began to salute. So while Obama typically doesn't salute, it's not as if he's required to. So did you know that one? I bet you didn't.
Well, I think it's going to get a lot of these conservatives. You know how they are, these conservatives.
Well, let's not start indicting people, okay?
Well, why do you think this has become a news story?
I don't know. I mean, Obama is rolling that tradition. Is he rolling the tradition back? Is it because does he not salute because he feels it's disingenuous? Is it not something that a civilian should have to do? If the leader of the country, if the leader of the armed forces is in fact a civilian, the president of the United States, his commander-in-chief is in fact a civilian, if he's in the military and not a civilian, then why isn't he wearing a uniform? The first obvious sign of him being a part of the military itself is that he's in uniform and that he holds rank. He holds a commander-in-chief rank, but he does not have the uniform that's customary with military service. So he's a civilian leader of the U.S. military. So should he have to salute? Well, there are different schools of thought.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Yeah. Somebody get me a no-dose.
What does that mean, get me a no-dose?
Are you going to go into another one of these speeches? Why don't we get General Galen Shaw on the line?
All right, that's fine. Go ahead. Call up General Shaw. See what he thinks.
I'm going to have to wake him up.
What do you mean you got to wake him up?
Well, this about what time is it?
It's about 5 minutes to 11 here on the West Coast.
Yeah, he's probably on a couch snoring away, probably watching a rerun or a unit or some of them shows like that.
Call him up anyway.
All right.
watching reruns of The Unit.
Yeah, he's always...
General Shaw? Hey, General Shaw. Yeah, Bud Dickman. What? What? Bud Dickman. What are you watching? Oh, yeah? Yeah? Okay, Mr. Henry wants to put you on the radio. Is that okay? Well, you what? What?
Will you come on, Bud?
Sorry. Mr. Henry wants to put you on the radio. Is that okay? No, it isn't. It doesn't make any difference because he wants to put you on the radio, so we're going to have you on the radio. Here he is.
Hold on. General Shaw, do you want to go on the air? Yeah, okay. General Shaw, how are you?
Well, I was having myself a nap, but I'm very happy to go on the air with you, Phil, so long as it doesn't turn into another one of these screaming matches that I hear so much on the talk radio these days.
Oh, I totally agree. No, there's not going to be any screaming match. This has to do with President Obama not saluting.
What?
President Obama didn't. He forgot to salute a Marine.
He forgot to salute the Marine at the helicopter, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, why? Why?
I don't know, sir.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no.
Is that, that's bad?
Yes, it's bad. It ruins everything. It ruins everything. Now, you can, if that doesn't sound bad to you, I don't know what to tell you, but that just ruins everything.
What does it ruin?
Yes, Shaw. General Shaw, what does it ruin?
It ruins it all. It ruins the tradition that was established in 1791 something.
No, Phil. Wasn't it? It was 81.
What?
1981.
Oh, never mind then.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And even if we're on tape.
Still, truth is our bitch.
Exactly, bud. Here from the El Pacifico, from our studios here at the El Pacifico in Southern California, all over the country. We're very happy to be with you. And a pleasant good evening or good morning to you. Tonight we're going to have Margaret Gray joining us, the writer for the Dicklin Syndicate. She writes A Little Bird Told Me, and we're going to talk about traveling with her son, Jason J. Delmonico, to a performing arts school this weekend in the Bay Area, and the trip that she and other mothers have made between Southern California and up there, and what they've encountered on the roads, particularly Interstate 5, what they have encountered as women driving cars and dealing with truck drivers. We're going to talk with her about that, believe it or not, in just a few minutes. David G. Hall will join us later in the program, and we will discuss a little more at length the work that I did last week, and I apologize for being away from you, but I was doing a television show called New Girl. It's on Fox, and I did a couple of stunts, and I wrecked my shoulder, and I feel like such a man. So
yeah, man, well, you said you jumped out of a car?
No, I didn't. It's not as heavy as you think it sounds, Robert. We'll get into that. Our number here is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're also online at philhendryshow.com. That's the worldwide web headquarters of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to go over there and get a backstage pass and check out our video cast and listen to our thousands of hours of archives. And contribute, if you will, during our in our news feed, and avail yourself of our daily podcast, as well as do some voting for your favorite Ted Bell bit. We'll tell you all about that later on in the program. Joining us, though, from Santa Monica, California, we're going to talk a little bit about the trip that she'll be making this weekend with her son, Jason J. Delmonico, up to Merbrook. First of all, congratulations on that. I know it's a big step for him. In his education, Margaret, I know he is a young aspiring actor. He's a young man who's been involved in the arts. I know it's a prestigious school, so congratulations.
Well, I thank you very much, Phil. We're excited about that. From the standpoint that we really didn't know whether Jason was going to qualify for that school. It's very, as you mentioned, it's very a preeminent school. And one of the reasons why I got into the topic that we're going to discuss this evening is that Kathy Ellison, a very dear friend of mine, her son went to Merbrook. He's now going to San Francisco State, and she's made this drive many times. Now, I don't know how often single mothers or single women are traveling great distances, and I know that this really doesn't, it's not just confined to me.
Right, because what we're talking about here are women in cars by themselves?
Well, you don't have to necessarily be by yourself. I'll be traveling with my son. You could very well be with a husband. But when you are sitting in the front seat of a car, and particularly if it is the summertime, or if you are traveling on a very warm day, or you are traveling, for whatever reason, you're traveling in a skirt or a short kind of a skirt or dress, what these truck drivers do, some of them, and I'm not saying all of them, but a significant number of them, will drive next to a car with a single woman in it, and they will slow up and peer down through the windshield or through whatever glass is, whatever visibility they have from the perspective of this truck cab.
So you're talking about the truckers that are in these tractor trailers, correct?
Well, I don't know the terminology, but...
But when you say these elevated cabs...
Yes, exactly.
All right, and they're pulling up next to, on the freeways or on the interstates, next to cars being driven by women.
Well, they're either being driven by the woman or there is a woman sitting in the passenger seat in the front seat. It affords the truck driver better visibility if he's looking through the windshield, looking down and through the windshield. This is, I think it's childish. I think that it's potentially very dangerous. I think it is very intimidating. I know for myself, and I'll be traveling with my son this week. It gives me a pause, and it does cause me a little bit of concern, because it has been warm in California. I am going to be traveling in a skirt and a blouse that I bought for the trip. It's not a mini skirt, but it's a short skirt. And when you're driving, Phil, a lot of women are going to have that skirt riding above their knees in order that you have an unobstructed access to the gas pedal.
All right, and all of that is understood, but I think what you're telling me is, so you're driving and you have truck drivers that are looking down into the front seat of the car, hoping to see what?
Well, that's just it. They're hoping to see a woman who has a skirt on that is perhaps pulled up a little too high. Truck drivers refer to this as a seat cover. That's what they call women that are driving their cars or sitting shotgun. And their skirts have been, because they're looking for a level of comfort, because they want a level of ease in driving the automobile, because it is a warm day, because the interior of the car is warm, for whatever reason, a woman will have her dress or her skirt riding above her knees. And the truckers, Phil, are driving next to the cars, and they're looking down to see if they can catch a view of a woman whose skirt is riding too high. I want women to be aware of this. And
well, okay, but not to interrupt you, Margaret. We're talking to Margaret Gray here. Our number is 877-876-7445. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but do you not think that this is something that women already know?
Well, it wasn't anything that I knew. And I can tell you, no, I don't think it is. I think the women that are aware of this, they might be women that have been out on the road as saleswomen. They may be women that think it's funny. I think there's some women that... they may get some kind of enjoyment out of showing off for these truck drivers. It, for me, Phil, it's a little frightening.
Why does it frighten you?
Well,
I mean, I understand how you would be concerned. You're driving with your son.
Well, that's just it. I've got my son sitting next to me, and I fear for him. I don't know if you have a truck driver out there who looks down into a woman's car. He sees a woman and a boy traveling alone. And he gets whatever feeling he gets when he sees you. You've got your skirt up above your knees. And
well, let me ask you something.
You have your skirt above your knees, and he's looking down, and he's getting very interested. I don't know how interested.
Well, let me ask you something. You're not sitting in the car with your son with your skirt riding above your knees, are you?
No, of course, you're not, but it's not the same thing. You're not, no, you're not sitting there with your son, but by the same token, he's my son. He's not, he's not some man. He's my son, and it's not the same thing. If I'm warm and I'm driving a car, and the interior of the car is warm, and maybe the air conditioner is not something, I don't like to use the air conditioner, Phil, because obviously it cuts down on the miles per gallon.
Okay.
So I am sitting in the car, and I am warm, so I'm going to pull my skirt up. And
well, how far above your knees are you pulling your skirt? And keep in mind, we're talking about your son is where? Is he sitting next to you?
This is not about my son, Phil. It's about these truck drivers that intimidate and frighten some women by leering through the windshield.
No, I understand that, and I want to get, and that is the point of this hour, Margaret. I understand that, but or at least of your comments. But I just want to be clear: if you're driving and you're driving a long distance, you're not using the air, so it's warm in the car, and I understand that. Well, you're pulling your skirt above your knees because you want to get some because it's hot.
Yes.
All right. Your son is sitting next to you, and I'm simply asking you, how far above your knees are you going to pull your skirt anyway? Even if there is a truck driver who's driving next to you and is looking down through the windshield.
Well, Phil, he is my son. He's not a man that I am fearful might attack me or otherwise have that kind of a prurient, leering interest. He's my son, and he is going to a performing arts high school. So I don't quite understand the nature of your question.
Can I ask you, if you've got your son sitting next to you, how far above your knees are you pulling your skirt?
I am pulling. I think that your question's a little inappropriate.
Why is that? I mean, I just want to know.
Well, think about it. Why would you ask a question like that?
The reason why I'm asking the question is because you're not going to pull. I would not think you would pull your skirt that high above your knees if you've already got your son in the car.
We're not talking about that.
All right, I'm sorry. If I'm misunderstanding, I apologize. Okay,
We're talking about a truck driver that has been out on the road, that has been traveling for days, perhaps, that has been away from the company of his wife or his girlfriend or whomever, and has now spotted what he calls a seat cover. He pulls up next to your car, and there is some anticipation on his part, and he's looking down through the windshield, and you have your skirt above your knees. You're trying to get some air because it is very, very warm.
And the skirt is where?
Well, if I'm trying to get air, many times you can ask any woman, you could have your skirt as high, it could be up to the edge of your thigh. In other words, at right at the beginning of your legs and where your trunk and your legs meet.
And all right, so in other words, you're exposing your undergarment.
Yes, you would be exposing an undergarment. In my case, I don't, because of the heat. And again, I need to tell you something, Phil, because I think you're really going in the wrong direction here. I love my son very, very much. He is my son. He's not my lover. And so you need to understand, when I say that I don't wear underwear or I don't wear an undergarment, and I may have my skirt pulled above my thighs, my son is not who I'm worried about. It's the truck driver that comes by, glances once, glances back at the road, and then he gets that awareness of, oh, my God. You know, whatever they, you know, a seat cover. Oh, my God, look at that. And then looks back and begins to leer at me through the windshield.
All right, but you are telling me something that I think is going to have a lot of people shocked.
Well, Phil, I'm not interested in other people.
You're telling me that you don't wear underwear, that you've got your skirt pulled up above your thighs, and that you are driving with your son. You don't want the truck driver to see this, but your son is looking at it.
I will tell you this right now. I'm only going to tell you this once. My son is not looking at anything. He's got his eyes on the road. And if my son were to glance over, even to talk to me, in the hopes that he's going to get some kind of a quick thrill, I can tell you this much, corporal punishment is the least of his worries. So I don't want you to worry about that.
All right, Margaret, I'm going to take a break here. We'll be right back.
I think you're misunderstanding a lot of what we're saying, and I look forward to clarifying some of this.
All right, that's fine. Our number is 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, and we're talking with Margaret Gray about the preponderance or the propensity of some men and women who drive trucks to look down through the windshield of a passing car and try to get a look at a woman who may be wearing her skirt, riding her skirt up a little too high on her thighs. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show.
I understand. Margaret Gray joins us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, driving Interstate 5 or any interstate in this country, there's a lot of trucks. There's a lot of truck traffic, and God bless our truck drivers, you know, because they're the ones. They're hauling the freight. They're taking it across the country.
Well, Phil, an attitude, and I've heard this before, God bless our truck drivers.
But the point that I'm making here is I just wanted to, I'm going to let you say what you want to say, Margaret. We have some people who would like to talk to you, including some truck drivers. But I'm just saying, truckers are doing a vital job. Now, I agree that if they're scaring you, but I've got a couple of questions. You have on a skirt that you're not wearing any panties, and you've got your son sitting next to you.
Yes, and what seems to be the problem with that? Because you think my son is going to turn and try to and take a shot and see if he can get a look. I have news for you. My son keeps his eyes on the road, straight ahead, 360 miles between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And I don't care if I have my skirt pulled up over my shoulders. That's where his eyes are. As it is, it's a hot day. I'm trying to get some air. And a truck driver pulling up next to me and looking down through the windshield to see if he can get some kind of a quick look, I think it's disgusting. I really do.
And All right. I will tell you that I'm having a hard time with your description of where your son is. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Blake on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Blake.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
Fine.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm going to say it again, and then I'm going to hang up, okay?
Fine.
Now, what do you want, man? Okay, let's go over to our next caller. Here's Joe. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Is this Joe? Yeah.
Hi. If that lady is so worried about, you know, being seen by truck drivers, why doesn't just she stay home, you know, or ride a bike?
Well, I'm not going to stay home. That's ridiculous. I have a right to drive a car. And I have a right to drive the car with my son and not be looked at by a trucker who could very well have something else on his mind. Do you drive a truck? Let me ask a better question. Do you have a wife?
Yeah.
All right. Is she good-looking enough for another man to want to look at?
Hey, I'm not worried about that. I'm not jealous.
Oh, so you don't mind a man looking up your wife's dress. That's very weird.
Hey,
and I can tell you, I beg your pardon?
Looking for free.
So you don't mind a man looking at your wife like that? Well, I can tell you that's very unusual. I think most men would probably want to protect their wives.
From what? From looks?
From someone like you, for instance. I wouldn't want you anywhere near me. You don't sound like a man who understands women at all. I'd be frightened of any man that was staring up my dress at me. And I would want to do something about that at the next truck stop when I saw you parked, maybe getting gasoline.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Hey, you're the one that's riding with the skirt up around your neck.
And you're the one. Well, why are you looking?
Well, what does it mean you...
Why are you looking? Are you that hard up?
No, I'm not looking at you.
Look, I know that I am, what do men say? I know that I'm tasty to look at. I know that. I have to live with that. Every day of my life I have to live with that. That men look at me. All right, okay, I get it. But when I'm driving and I have my skirt up because I'm trying to get some air and...
No panties, isn't that right?
Who's this?
Phil Hendry.
Oh, yeah, no, no panties.
All right, so there's no underwear. Your son is sitting next to you.
My son's eyes are dead ahead, and that's where I want this man's eyes. This man, Joe, is that your name?
Yes, ma'am.
You keep your eyes on the road, Joe, and you keep them off of me, and you and I are going to get along real good. You and I are going to get along real good.
I want to ask you something, Margaret. What do you mean about you catch up to him at the truck stop?
If I saw Joe staring at my you-know-what, and then I saw his truck at a truck stop, I'd pull over. And I'll let you figure out the rest. I'll let you figure that out. I'll let you figure that out. I'd really like to know what you think is so funny.
I don't know. I just I'll let Joe figure that out. What are you going to do? If he's inside getting a cup of coffee, you going to drop a match in his gas tank?
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's real smart, Margaret. That's real great. The guy's looking up your dress, and you're going to blow his truck to hell and back.
Yeah, that's something for Joe to think about.
All right, look, Joe, thanks for your call, sir. I appreciate it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I really feel that you haven't addressed the question of your son.
You know, I would like to talk to some women, please, if it's all right with you, because women are the ones that are subjected to this kind of behavior every day, driving down the road, your skirt is above your knees, and here comes Joe or whoever, and he wants to get, this is his lucky day, he's going to get himself a little eye full of gold.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show here every night from the El Pacifico. Our number 877-876-PHIL. With us is Margaret Gray from the Dicklin Syndicate. She writes a weekly column, A Little Bird Told Me, and is traveling north with her son this weekend to the Mirbrook Performing Arts School in San Francisco, which, again, congratulations to Jason. It's a great honor.
We're very excited for Phil.
And I know that you've written a lot of different articles concerning a lot of different things. I didn't think that the occasion of your son being admitted to this great school would be about truck drivers staring at women. But now you say that your friend, Miss Ellison, right?
Sherry Ellison's a very dear friend of ours where Jason goes to school. Her son is a few years ahead of Jason. Her son is a freshman at San Francisco State. And I can tell you that Sherry has had this problem. She told me one of the road trips that she took with Blake, who is her husband. And she is sitting shotgun. And these truck drivers will slow up and try to get a look. If you are sitting there and you are changing your... You know, this is very difficult. A lot of people won't understand this. Women will understand this. If you're changing your feminine napkin, if...
All right, okay, we don't need to talk about that.
Well, I'm giving you examples of what you have to get on your knees, you're looking in the back seat, you're not wearing pants. These truckers are almost a different kind of man. They behave as if they've never seen a female in their lives. So that when they see any woman at all engaged in something normal... To them, it is a pornographic film.
If a woman has no pants on, leaning over the front seat into the back seat to get something, that's a pornographic film, whether you like it or not.
That is a woman who is trying to take care of a health need, Phil. Are you trying to tell me that men don't know the difference?
Men don't know the difference. Men know the difference. I don't think from a truck a man's going to know the difference. But again, we have this question. You're going down the road with your son. Now, I know you've said that if your son turned and looked at you...
No, not looked at me. If I saw Jason turn and look down between my legs and a smile came across his face, I'm telling you right now, I don't care if he's going to a performing arts school for acting, I would knock teeth out of that beautiful face of his. And I love my son, but I would make sure that he lost teeth. And that car, by the way, would turn right around and come right back home.
Well, I'm telling you that it is a bizarre situation or scene that you're painting here of you driving, no panties, and...
When did we start taking the trucker's point of view here, Phil?
All right, well, let me just get some calls. To me, it sounds as if you're inviting trouble here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Here is Joe on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, I got pulled over coming out of San Jose just a few weeks ago. I got pulled over just by a lady, kind of like her. She had a Bud Light right in between her legs, and the 12-pack was right next to her, and it was not my fault. She pulled me over. She was actually looking into a truck driver. But luckily...
I don't know. What are you talking about? You got pulled over. How do you get pulled over by a woman? I don't understand. How does that happen?
Well, I was just like you. I was looking out, getting fresh air, and guess what I see? I saw more than what I expected.
But what did you? What do you mean you got pulled over?
She signaled me over. She got me out to park after the shoulder in the freeway, coming out of San Jose, and she was wearing a miniskirt way up.
Well, I don't understand why you're leering at that. When you say she pulled you over, were you expecting her to perform sex for money? Was she a prostitute?
No, what I'm saying is that there's a lot of ladies just like you that want to drive on the freeway and
I
show
beg
more
your
than,
pardon.
What we need to see.
No, I beg your pardon. I'm not out there, Joe, running cold air between my legs so Joe can get an eyeful on his way to drop off the whatever you're dumping off.
Well, we're just looking out to get fresh air, and we don't want to see. We don't have to. We don't need to see.
Here's where I'm having my problem, Joe. As I listen to you talk, I can hear you almost laughing. You're going, well, we're almost... You see, you're laughing, aren't you?
And of course, look, we all.
Well, I can
know
hear you. You've got a
speed.
Joe sounds like a happy guy. Are you a happy man, Joe? You sound like a happy man to me.
Look,
well,
we
yeah,
all
no, okay. Here we go.
Car speed do not match. I'm driving a 55, and you can go 75 in California freeway. So you can just drive, and you forget about truckers. If they look at you, they're fine. If they don't, your speed is 20 miles. Your speed is 20 miles faster than my speed.
You are telling me, yes, but you're telling me that you lean out the window to get air, and the sound in your voice is almost like, you don't want to show me what you got. And I find that very offensive.
But I can drive a truck with 20 tons of
yeah.
meat.
Let me say it for you, Joe. Joe, you made a very good point. Joe is saying that the truck is going to go a certain speed. You can go around him.
Well, that is not the case because these trucks come up from behind, okay? They catch you. I'm not going to break the speed limit. And if I do, if I have to go excessive speed, then I'm jeopardizing myself and my son. I know what he's saying, but these trucks come up from behind. There's Joe leaning out the window, getting his air, as he puts it, and what he's really doing is leering down at me through my windshield with that little light lifting laugh going, hoo-hoo-hoo. And I find it to be a little bit...
And you know what? We call out each other, We call the
you
trucker
do.
Because everybody for the following 20 miles ahead of me knows the good and the bad-looking lady right next to us because we're communicating to each other.
So in other words, you are telling these other animals, excuse me for saying this, but that's what you're telling every animal in a 20-mile radius
And you know who else? The California Highway Patrol hears everything, too. So he knows what's going on.
Well, I'm not worried about a highway patrolman because he's not in an elevated truck. Look,
well,
I'm good-looking. I know that about myself. I have to put up with that.
Well, you're riding down the road. All right. Uh-huh. Joe, that very good call, Joe, and you made some very good points.
Well, I thought it was a typical piece of male bonding where you and Joe were going, and the two of you thought it was very funny. I don't, because I've got wind that I need to get up there. Well.
Joe, thanks for your call. And drive carefully, man. Thank you very much, sir. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
May I ask you something?
Go ahead.
Why did you go, why did you make that noise?
Well, Margaret, I, again, you are not, you're not taking into consideration the idea that your own son is driving with you, sitting next to you in that car, and you with the no underwear. Here's Tony on the Phil Henry Show. Tony, go ahead, please.
Hey, Margaret, I got a good question.
I've explained that.
If they come up from behind you, how can we see? Because, matter of fact, if you think about it, if you go sit in the back, in the truck, you cannot look on the passenger side. So what lane are you in, the left lane or the right lane?
I can tell you right now, if I'm in the left lane and a truck comes up behind me on the right side, he may be going faster than me.
Well, why don't you get in the right lane? Like
once he passes, well, hold on, no.
Why don't you just get in the right lane like you're supposed to? No, excuse me.
I am.
Yeah, that's true. That's not a passing lane.
Well,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But the point is, the man comes up next to me.
You don't know what you're talking about, lady.
I know that these animals, these truck drivers, want to get an eyeful, and they want to get an eyeful of what I got. And I'm with my own son.
Okay, driving the right lane, if you're not passing somebody, stay in the right lane. And I guarantee you, we can't see you off the right side.
Well, Joe, what you're talking about is a rule of the road, which thank you for bringing it up. It's a rule of the road that 99% of all drivers don't adhere to, do they? And
what are you talking about?
You're not supposed to be in the far left lane sitting on just sitting at 55 or 60. You got to get out of the way if there's someone behind you.
Well, I don't know what either one of you, I don't think you know what you're talking about.
No, he knows exactly what he's talking about. He's a truck driver.
Well, I am in, I'm just trying to tell you, you asked me a question, I'm going to answer it. If the man comes up on my right side, all he has to do is edge in front of me a little bit, and he can look back through my windshield, and he's looking at...
Well, you're lucky, because I'll get up on your bumper, and I'm usually flashy, and I get enough to, you can't even see nothing but the grill. So once you do your legal obligation, stay in the right lane unless you're passing somebody, and you won't get peeped at. Point blank, because you cannot see off the right side. No, just woman, you don't know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you this right now. First of all, when you hit those brights, and basically anyone in front of me is looking back and seeing an X-ray skeleton of my skull. That's how bright these trucks are, Phil. Did you know that?
What are you talking about?
If you put these brights on behind me, it is so bright, it's an X-ray of your skull.
Oh, it's not that bright, for God's sake. You know, the man...
Well, I'm telling you it is. Now, if he comes... I don't know what he's telling me.
He's saying get over in the right lane. If he passes you on the left, he's in the far left of the cab driving. That's where the wheel is. How is he going to look through that cab and then down
exactly at
you?
I'll tell you how. Have you ever heard of mirrors? Thank you.
You can't go through no mirror. Woman, go get in a truck.
Thank you. No.
Go ride it for a week. You go drive one for a week and do what I said. I guarantee you.
Thank you.
Make it a bull crap.
Are you telling me you don't have that fisheye mirror? You have the fisheye mirror that looks right down.
Oh, hockey.
It
only does a my trailer. Unless you're under my trailer, that's the only way I can see you. You know, you have blind side.
All right. Well, I will say this to you. If that's what you're telling me is true, then you're one rare man. Because most men will adjust that.
You won't get picked. You won't get big.
They will adjust. They adjust the mirror.
No, you can't adjust the mirror, lady. That mirror, that little thing is stained. There's a blind side.
Do you know what EMD? Do you know what EMD is? You've heard the term EMD.
Yeah. And you know, little sign says, you beware, like on back of the trailer, you're in my blind spot. That means if you're there,
I understand that.
But EMD,
what, hold on, what is EMD?
Early early morning dew. That's what the truckers call it when they angle that mirror down, and it is like a microscope right up your you-know-what. I'm really resentful of the laughter. I really am.
Well, I've not heard these terms. I thank you very much, sir. Tony, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for reminding us that we got to get our asses out of that number one lane if there's traffic behind us. I appreciate that. 877-876-PHIL.
What is this, Phil's Traffic School now? I am here talking about myself and my son. We are traveling alone. We are alone on an interstate going through the very central part of California. Now, I don't need to remind you, Phil, that there is Thule fog, that there are remnants of a kind of culture in the central California area. These are people from Oklahoma. A great many of them gave birth to individuals that went on to become, yes, I'll say it, serial murderers. The freeway killer, the freeway strangler, the skid row strangler. All of them, where do you think Henry Lee Lucas came from? You got it, Bakersfield. Now, Phil...
Let's just, for a moment, put her on hold. I got to take a break. We'll move on. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Are you a trucker that looks down through the window at women with their, you know, women trying to get a peek? Margaret Gray is on the line with us. She'll be traveling with her son. And she is very put out by what she thinks are truckers that will be targeting her, trying to look down through the windshield up her dress. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray with us as we talk about traveling between, just traveling on the interstates. You mentioned your friend Sherry encountered... Now, your friend Sherry is a woman who was also driving her son up north.
Yes, she was driving her son, Blake, up north. Oh, no, she was driving her son, Jamie, up north. Her husband is Blake. I don't know what this means, but she recorded, this was on Interstate 5. It was near Tulare. And go ahead and roll that, Frank. All right, did you hear that?
I heard what sounded like a foghorn, yeah.
Yeah, this is the harassment from these truckers. When they see a woman who has her skirt hiked up over her waist, and she is overweight, and you know, Phil, if you're carrying a lot of weight, it's very warm. So if you could, if you're a woman and you are carrying excess weight, if you could, you would travel with no pants on at all. But you can't do that. Not with these truckers. And this idea that they can just go out into the world without any concern at all. Remember, a lot of these men have daughters and wives, and yet there they are, looking down through my windshield and seeing if they can really get a good long look. And let's also remember that they are putting other drivers at risk as they are playing their silly games. Play that again, Frank, will you please? Playing these silly, that foghorn that you heard.
I don't know what that foghorn is. You say that's harassment?
That was harassment of a woman who is carrying some extra pounds.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Rita on the phone. Hi, Rita. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Margaret. Hello. I used to own an 18-wheeler. My husband.
You're a singer?
And I, an 18-wheeler.
You said you're a singer or a wheeler?
An 18-wheeler, a truck. I owned one. We do not.
Oh, I'm sorry, dear. All right.
The current, yeah. The previous yeah. man was right. If he's on your left side, he cannot.
Now, did you hear? Can you hear that, Rita? Because it's very important that you hear that. My friend was driving next to a truck. I don't know the different terms, but the trucker had radioed ahead so that when she came up on another one of these individuals... Are you familiar with that noise, that sound?
Never heard it out of a truck.
Well, but I can tell you that it's...
I'm telling you, 99.99% of truck drivers are busting their hump to make a living. And even as a female, if I saw you going down the road leaning over the back seat with your naked butt in the air, I'd be staring, wondering what's wrong with that woman.
Well, that is very, very unusual. What do you mean? Why would you be looking at my bare rear end? What is that about?
What you're doing. It's crazy.
Well, I'm doing, Rita, what any woman would be doing. Excuse me for saying this. I'm looking for a tampon. All right?
Why don't you stop at a filling station? I mean, that's what most women do.
Because if you're traveling with a husband and you're married, you know how these men are, and they want to get to XYZ town by sundown, and they're like a bat out of hell, and they're not stopping for anyone or anything, and you are urinating into a, bottle...
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
You must have a very rude husband then, because I wouldn't put up with that.
Well, listen, you know, I understand, but I have a very heavy flow, okay? And if I've got to get a tampon...
All right, I don't want to hear this, all right? This is, you know, I personally have to agree with Rita. You know, there's got to be some end. You can't blame truckers for every time that you have no pants on or no underwear on. You can't say that it's their fault that they're staring.
I think they need to be educated to some of the realities. And I have to tell you, I'm very shocked by another woman calling and not taking my side. You know as well as I do, Rita, that it gets warm. Our underwear comes off. We're trying to get some air. Now comes Rita.
No, I do not take my underwear off in the vehicle. I mean, good grief.
Are you kidding? Are you serious?
Truck drivers are filling out logbooks. They got so many hours to be on the road. They got to get their load there. They got to get it delivered.
I've got no doubt they've got to get their load there.
There's a very...
I have to ask you a question, Rita. Your phone broke up. Could you say that? Because you're saying, you're talking about them having to get their log there. No kidding.
Okay, excuse me, Rita, say that again because your phone did break up, and I don't know what you're saying, Margaret.
Did you not hear her say they're trying to get their load there?
Yes. Rita, hang on, and I apologize, your phone was breaking up. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk about the rules of the road, truck drivers and single women sitting on the front seat there, driving the car with the skirt hiked up above their waist. What is the actual... protocol? 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show live from the El Pacifico. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we are constantly looking for places to go to that other talk shows would go to, wish they could go to, but they don't go to. Okay, so we have Margaret Gray on the line with us from Santa Monica this evening. We're going to continue with your phone calls and discuss. We also have David Hall coming up in about 20 minutes to discuss my working last week on the TV show New Girl. But with Margaret, this is a discussion of traveling safely on the highways of the United States with truck drivers who may be looking through the windshield of your car to see what they can see if your skirt's riding too high. And I, you know, if there's a safety problem there, Margaret, then I'm certainly willing to hear about it.
Well, it's more than a safety problem. It is. I think any man who knows that his wife or his daughter is traveling by themselves on the interstates of this country, and while your daughter, your own daughter, is traveling and She may be going somewhere as close as a friend. She may be going to school. She may be traveling to... I remember when Frank's daughter from his first marriage would visit us. We had a cabin at Bass Lake, and she would come up from school to visit us. This is a young woman that is on the highway. She's on the freeway by herself for 3 hours. And I would ask Frank, I would say, do you understand what these truck drivers do? They are going to want to look down to the windshield of your daughter's car to see, number one, is there something there? Number two, if there's something to look at, is it worth looking at for any length of time? And if it's worth looking at for any length of time, maybe he'd like to get to know it better. And I remember Frank looking at me and saying, get to know it. Are you calling my daughter an it? And I said, Frank, you know very well that I love Vicky as if she were my own. I'm not talking about Vicky. I said it. And Frank didn't know what I was talking about. I had to stand because men are not conscious of this. I had to stand up, and I'm, again, Phil, forced to say something that I wouldn't normally say. I had to lift my skirt up and point to it. I said it, meaning this. Are you aware that there are truck drivers out there that may want to get to know it better? And you remember that, Frank?
I remember.
That's what I'm saying. So,
well, are you afraid they're going to pull you over? And
well, you heard that one cackling man. You seem to think he was okay. He didn't sound right to me.
Who was that?
That Joe who was going, everything was a riot to him. He said some woman with a case of Bush pulled her over, or pulled him over.
Okay, now, he didn't say, well...
No, he said she had a case of beer, and I think he said Bush. Bush Bavarian.
I don't think they make Bush Bavarian anymore.
Oh, Phil, grow up. I'm talking... He said she had a case of beer, and...
Well, he might have said Budweiser.
No, he didn't. He said Bush Bavarian beer. Now...
They don't even make Bush Bavarian beer anymore. They don't make it.
How do you know?
Because I can tell you, I've looked for it. I've looked for Bush Bavarian beer, and it is not made. Bush makes Bush. They make Bush Light. You know...
Well, then he was being crude. Then he was being crude. Now I get it. Now I know where he was going. See, again, Phil, you are like Frank, and I think you're like a lot of men. Men don't want to know the filth that is going on out there.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go back to Rita, who was hanging on. Rita, go ahead. If you had any final thoughts, we didn't want to cut you off. You've heard Margaret's comments.
Well, Rita, you know what I'm saying. I know that you don't want to agree, because you rely on a man to keep your truck on the road.
Ma'am, that man is dead. I'm no longer on the truck. I don't rely on any man.
What man died? Well, there you go.
My husband.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Did he die from shock? Because I wouldn't be, you know...
Why don't you... I'm very sorry to hear that, Rita, that you're...
Well, yes, I am too. I apologize. Yes, I apologize. But what did he die from, dear? What?
He got hit in the oil field.
He got bit in an oil field.
Hurt in the oil field.
He got parked in an oil field.
His heart attack in an oil field.
No.
All right.
Injured.
Oh, an engine? She said an engine.
He was injured in an oil field.
I'm sorry. All right. Well, there you go.
My point is, truck drivers are trying to make a living. We deal with DOT. We deal with logbooks. We deal with the hours we get to ride. We have a slower speed than the cars. There's no point in any of this going on. Trying to make a living.
I understand that. You're a female. I don't think as a woman you're going to be looking out for that. But I can tell you that Frank's daughter, Vicky, I said to Frank... I said, you've got truckers out there, men, who are desperate to get some kind of a look before the sun goes down and they finally make it to where they're going. And Frank said, you know, what are you talking about? And I said, they're taking a look at it. And he said, did you call my daughter an it? I said, no. And that's when I had to point to it.
I don't know.
Are you all right? Well, I mean, you don't know what I'm saying. that is my signal to say, wake up. We've got a lot of waking up to do.
All right. Rita, thank you very much for hanging on. And I'm sorry to hear about your husband, and I hope that your life is moving along very well. Thank you. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Well, that was very, I think that's a little, isn't that a little patronizing?
No, that's called polite. That's what we do when someone says that they've lost a loved one. You say to that person, I'm very sorry.
I don't need that kind of lesson from you. I was asking because I'm not familiar with the way you people do these things in talk radio. I thought it was something that you would hear and try to make a joke out of. I don't know.
Well, Margaret, you're the one that is talking about, you know, Frank and his daughter Vicky, and these guys are going to want to take a look at it, and you've made 2 points now of saying that Frank, you had to point to quote it because Frank didn't know.
Men don't think of it is what I'm trying to say.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a phone call here now from Lynn. Hi, Lynn. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Margaret, I just have 4 words for
yes.
you.
Yes.
Like, put on some underwear. That's it.
All right, let's say I put some underwear on.
Yeah.
Let's say I did. Then that's okay? Then you'd be happy.
Well, you're not going to be staring at your giblies to
yes, they do. They stare. They don't care. They're looking to see what they can see.
But didn't that other
looking at a
say, did they call each other back and forth and say, oh, you know, I saw this and that and the other thing?
That's right. They do.
Well, if they don't see anything, they're not going to be calling back and forth.
They're going. If they see underwear, they make a big deal out of that.
Well, don't hike up your skirt
and
that high.
I have to. It's too bloody hot in the car. Here's an idea. Why don't we
what?
Teach our truck drivers to have some manners, to act like gentlemen, and not hang out of a window like that Joe, who sounded to me like he just came over wet. Excuse me for saying.
Is it wet?
I don't appreciate that.
Well, I'm sorry, but he is saying.
Son is too. You're the sweet woman.
I beg your pardon? My son, I told you that my son is not going to look at anything, or he's going to lose a lot of teeth.
That's insane.
Do you think that's funny?
What is
Do you think that's funny?
Yeah, that you'd smack your kid to knock out his teeth.
If he looked,
you probably
deep,
have to
what
open
would
the
you
window because of the smell with your skirt.
Oh, aren't you funny? Aren't you funny?
Boy,
what a crude, what a bitch you are! What a crude bitch you are!
Oh, look who's talking!
You really are. You are vile to say something like that.
Skirt up next to some little kid.
Really? How do I know?
Like tuna or whatever.
How do I know?
You know what?
How do we know you're telling the truth?
Oh, no, yeah,
and you
yeah,
really,
yeah.
I don't even think you've got a son or a husband because
I don't
think if
I
your
don't
husband
son.
Or your, yeah, no wonder. No, what? Yeah, why? Because
yeah.
No man would want to be around a woman like you with the manners of some kind of a she thing.
A she thing?
You know what I'd like to
well,
do?
You
know what? If you were standing
you
in front of me,
I've,
you know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed hustling rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you don't look like you're too far removed from 3 generations of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you with all their tired, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars when all you could think about, Lynn, was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
You have to wash that seat off after you finish sitting on it.
No, you know what?
I'll bet
you anything that when you get out of bed in the morning, your husband has to burn the bed.
Oh, yeah, every day there's a bed burning.
You're
That's
right.
crazy. Look,
That's
anyway,
right, Jumbo.
I'm done with you.
All right, Jumbo. Look. Well, listen, Jumbo, it's been great talking to you.
Put on some underwear.
See you, Jumbo.
Okay, so we heard the speech from, that's the first time I've heard that in a while, the speech from Silence of the Lambs, Jumbo, and Burning Sheets, Beds, you got it. The world famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back here, 877-876-PHIL. Still ahead on the program, David G. Hall. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And that was Catherine Rosedale.
How old was she? Welcome back, folks. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm talking to Margaret about Catherine Rosedale is who?
Rosedale-Phil was a very, very dear woman. She was Ashley Jones' grandmother. I think Sherry knew her. There was a lot of people that knew her. Now, you heard the story that they had to move her from her home, and eventually they did have to put her with assisted living, or I should say assisted care.
With a nurse?
Yes, with a full-time nurse. When she was in the car and they were moving and they had to move very fastly, they had to move very quickly, I mean, they had her in a long gown. And she got into the car. She was elderly. And I guess she had some kind of an itch or a scratch or something. She hiked that thing all the way above her waist. They're going down the freeway at about 50 miles an hour because they have all of this stuff, all of her stuff on the roof of the car. And here's an old lady with the windows open, and you can see for miles around as she's got the thing hiked over her waist, scratching and itching. It was absolutely disgusting. And yet, guess what? Here comes the truck driver, slows down. You talk about hard up. I mean, are our truckers that hard up to look at some old lady who has some kind of a rash?
Well, I, you know, that sounds like that would be bizarre. I mean,
are you going to slow up and look at that?
Well, for the first couple of seconds, you probably wouldn't know what the hell it is you're looking at. You know.
Oh, so you don't know what a naked woman looks like?
Well, I sure as hell don't. I've never in my life seen an elderly woman in full view of the world pulling a freaking dress up and doing what you're talking about. I would feel sorry for her. I would feel, you know, who are the people that are the family members that will keep this woman from doing what she's doing? That would be my first thought. Let's take a phone call here. We have Erica on the Phil Henry Show. You're on with Margaret Gray. Go ahead, please. Erica? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's not Erica. That is, I got a whole different caller here, man. Tammy. I'm sorry, Tammy. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm here. You know, I'm a woman truck driver. You know, okay.
Yes, ma'am. Go.
If y'all see, you know, a trucker going down the road with a penis hanging out, would you look?
That doesn't happen. Now, let's stay in reality. If I'm going down the road and I'm with my son and listen, I'm sitting in the seat of my car, darling. I'm not hanging it out a window. I'm sitting on the seat of my car. The truck driver comes by, takes out whatever they have, binoculars or a telescope or whatever they use, because he's trying to get a good...
Time for that?
You know full well these guys have got something up there. Don't they have something?
I'm a truck driver. Hold up. No, we don't.
Well, you're a female. I'm talking about the men. They carry those little telescopes that you can pull out of your pocket.
How is the guy going to drive?
I'm friends with many men truck drivers. No, they really do not. If you're out there showing... Yeah, they're going to look.
Right, they are going to look. And if they're going to look, they're going to try to get a good look. And that means they'll generally have those Nikon binoculars or some form of a miniature telescope.
So why would you be showing it, though? I mean, you wouldn't look?
Because
a man showing a penis, you wouldn't look.
Well, let me ask you this. First of all, a man showing his penis means that he is mentally disturbed. I'm not trying to show anything. I'm trying to get some air up there. Because I'll be honest with you, you're a woman, and I'm a woman. Can I just talk honestly with you?
Yes.
I don't necessarily shave, okay? So it gets warm. And
can we not talk about that on live radio, please?
Who is speaking to me like that?
The host of the show, ma'am. That's who's speaking to you like that, and I don't want to hear that kind of conversation on live radio.
Well, she's turning... Are you there? Tammy,
yeah,
are you
I'm
there?
Here.
Is the caller there? Did you turn
yes,
your
I'm
radio
here.
Up? Did you turn your radio up? Because the host will go, they go bat crap crazy if you do that. And
all right, just talk to the lady.
So it gets very warm. And so I try to get some air blowing around up there. My son doesn't look, he's been told. No, I've said to my son, don't you.
Is what you said.
I'm saying my son does not look or he loses teeth. Now, I don't know how more clearly I can put it.
So, in other words...
So it's not good for a trucker to look, but it's okay for your son to be in the car if you're doing that.
Excuse me, I just said, no, my son may not look. If I see him turn to his left, even if he's looking at a house that's burning down and people throwing themselves through the windows, if he turns left and he gets a smile on his face,
he loses, I'm telling you right now, he'll lose teeth.
So I'm thinking you're disturbed, not the truckers.
Oh, my God. I'm a woman, the same as you.
So
I'm doing the same things.
But you know what? I'm going to hike up nothing around my son.
Darling, I've told you a million times, I'll say it again. My son is not allowed to look.
Well, that seems like very a poor excuse. I mean, if you got your panties off and your skirt is hiked up...
Excuse me, Phil, I really am not comfortable talking with you about it. I'm talking to the lady about it, Tammy. Yes, dear, what did you say? Every boy looks at his mother's...
Well, if you've
trumpet?
Every boy is curious and is going to look, so it's okay for your son to be in a car and going by, can't look.
You're telling me that your son's interested in your you-know-what? I call that
honey, I don't
run
around without no panties in front of my son.
But you're saying that if you did, it would be perfectly normal for your son to want to get a look.
I don't do it, so why would it be not normal to do that?
Darling, I'm saying it's very dangerous for you to think that way, because if you think like that, then you're going to say it's normal for your son to want to go ahead and take a shot.
Oh, come on!
I think you're really disturbed, not the truckers.
Well, I can tell you that as a woman, one woman to another, I'm disturbed by that, because all I'm trying to say is that if you're driving a interstate
bar... I wouldn't run around with no panties in front of my son.
I'm not running around. I'm sitting on the seat of my car, and I've told my son, if I so much as see you look left, I will through your head.
Okay,
right
so
through your head.
You're bringing it to your son's attention. You have no panties on.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
I have
so
to let
that
him know.
Right there is disturbing.
Would you rather that I took my panties off and not said anything about it until he turned, leered, and begin to make a move?
You know, you're the kind of people that the police need to be on.
I agree.
You should not have...
Oh, you agree.
...driving around with your son with no panties on.
I absolutely agree with the caller.
I think, Phil, that your mind is in the gutter. I think
mine?
The caller
no,
is... No, not you. Not you. I think Phil Henry's mind is in the gutter. I think as a woman, as a fellow woman, I think you're leaving me... You're leaving me out in the desert for buzzard meat.
And that's where you should be.
Well,
Margaret, what you've been saying here is so outrageous. You know,
thank you.
No, just let me say this, okay? Because you know what? I may not be a woman, but I am a father. And I can tell you what you're saying is the most outrageous thing I've ever heard in my life. And to say that you have every right to go down the road with no panties on, your son's going to lose teeth if he looks, and then truckers better not look. You know, you're one of these people who want to operate.
Would you ride down the street with your daughter in the vehicle with no underwear?
Are you asking Mr. Henry that or me?
I'm asking he would ride down the road with no underwear with his daughter in the vehicle.
No, for God's sake, no. First of all, my daughter would never, in her wildest imaginings, even do that. Secondly, I'd order her out of the car.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you know something, Margaret? You want to get a fist and lose some teeth?
How dare you?
No, that's I meant it, every word. Listen, I gotta go. I appreciate your call. Very good.
On the sexual offenders list, Margaret.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Tammy. World famous Phil Henry Show, David G. Hall coming up. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. We'd love for you to join us on our website. We have live streaming video of our show every night. And just so you know, if you joined us on Saturday nights for our special video cast and broadcast on Saturday nights, and you're a backstage pass holder, All of those video casts are going to be archived. All of that audio is going to be archived this week. So our Saturday night show, which came to an end last Saturday night, was the last Saturday night show that we did because, to be honest with you, six nights a week is killer. But we have saved all of those video casts, all of the Phil TV and HD for the last over a year, well over 50 shows that will be available for you, including the video, in our archives very, very shortly. We're excited about that. And just another added little special added bonus here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm going to get on the line here with this David G. Hall, who is our Vice President of Syndication, a man who has been involved, obviously, in the business end of our radio show for a long time. But we also want to be talking to David here about some other things. We're going to talk to him about the television show that I've just been doing. And to that end, David, let me get you on the line here. David, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing good, Phil, and we are very excited about the fact that you were on set with New Girl on Fox, and we'll look forward to seeing that when that comes out.
Now, I know that there were a couple of concerns that you had, and we were going to address those concerns here this evening, but one of them has to do with, and it seems silly, so I'll let you say it, but one of them has to do with going Hollywood on you, huh?
Yeah, I think it is a normal thing. I think it's a normal thing, Phil, for anybody to think that if you have a comrade, a colleague in the radio business who has decided he's going to pursue television acting, as you have, we don't want you to get too far ahead of yourself. We don't want you to get a big head. And I think the listeners want to be assured that you are going to be here doing your radio show regardless.
Well, that's my plan, absolutely.
Well, all right, it's your plan, and I believe you. But when you talk, as you have been talking, I know you did some updates while you were doing the show, and you also took some nights off in order for you to complete this program. When you talk about the show and you posted some things on your website, we don't want you to start thinking that you're Mr. Hollywood, that's all, and that I think you appreciate that. And the listeners, I think, would be concerned. Understand that radio listeners, especially talk show listeners, are people that are fairly well divorced from these ideas of Hollywood and acting and TV. And most people that listen to talk radio are listening to talk radio to talk about politics or to talk about, farming. There's a lot of our radio stations cover many of the farming areas. And especially the time of night that you're on, there's a lot of rural reporting, truckers, and again, the farming communities, ranching. When you start talking about Hollywood, you're leaving people in the dust. And so...
But all right, and I agree that I don't, in other words, I don't want to, I do not want to become, as you said, Mr. Hollywood. I don't want anybody to not think that I'm talking to them. But you asked me to come on the air.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You wanted me to talk about working on the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely I did. Absolutely I did.
But all right, so you just want me to temper it.
Yeah, I want you to give us the inside scoop, give the audience what it's like to work on a TV show, and give everybody the day-to-day, what happens when you come on the onto the lot there, when you go into hair and makeup, I heard you say, and then you go and get something to eat, and then you start your day. We want to know about all of that. I'm hopeful that you won't go Mr. Hollywood. And Bud Dickman and I have at least, and of course we were talking to Sal Humphries about this, and he agreed. Bud, go ahead and play that sounder that we have.
Right here.
Okay, do you hear that, Phil?
That's the song, Hooray for Hollywood?
Yeah, that's Hooray for Hollywood. Now, what that song means, and the reason why we brought that on, is we don't want you to get so Mr. Hollywood that you start losing. So if you hear that music, you can tone it down, if you know what I mean.
All right, let me turn that down for a minute, will you, Bud?
Turn it off, Bud.
Okay, first of all, I don't know that I need that. In other words...
Well, if you don't need it, that's fine. You know?
Well, what I'm saying to you is this. You know... I don't need music to remind me. It sounds like you're on a cordless phone.
I am, and I apologize, Phil. It's not a very good connection.
I don't need anybody to remind me that I'm getting to Hollywood.
Well, I think you do, and here's why I say that. People that get into that kind of a business that you got into, these are people that are not going to necessarily... These are people that are not going to necessarily, Phil, know that they're getting over the top a little bit. So that's why we wanted to bring that music on to remind you, because I don't have, you know, it may be something that you're not aware of.
I can assure you that I'm aware of it.
Well, fine. If you can assure me that you're aware of it, then we won't need to use the sounder. So, you were going to talk in this segment about it?
Yeah. And you were going to ask me some questions.
All right. Well, I want to ask you, do you have a trailer? Do you have a dressing room?
I have yeah, there's a trailer. There's a dressing room.
What's in it?
Well, what's in it? I mean, there's a, you go in there, there's a TV set. Some of the...
yeah, okay. See what you did there?
What did I do?
Oh, there's a TV set.
Did you ask me what was in it?
I asked you what's in it. You don't have to go into the TV set. Is there a toilet?
Yes, there's a toilet.
Is there a place to wash your hands? Is there something to sit on?
Yes.
Okay, that's all we need. Oh, there's a TV set.
First of all, I didn't say it that way. Could you turn that off, Bud, please?
Turn it off, Bud.
I didn't say it like that.
Well, I know, but I'm just... You understand that we don't want you to...
Yeah, you don't want me to get too Hollywood. You asked me, do I have a trailer? Yeah.
Okay, I didn't ask you had a TV set in it. All right, when you get done in the trailer, now where do you go?
What do you mean when I get done in the trailer?
Well, what are you doing in there?
I'm sitting there. I guess I'm waiting for them to call me to hair and makeup. What did I do now?
Oh, you know, they're calling you to hair and makeup. Is that it? Is that what you do? Look, Phil, you're not Marilyn Monroe, okay? You understand that?
Yes, I understand.
All right, well... What do you mean they called you to hair and makeup? What do they do? I don't understand what that means.
They knock on the door and they say, Phil, could you come to hair and makeup?
Then say that, okay? Don't go, hey, they call me. And
by the way, David, that mimicking of me, you don't even sound like me.
You want to bet? Because when you say that, that's what you sound like to the audience. You go, no, they call me. All right, now once they call you to hair and makeup and you sit there in hair and makeup, what happens?
What do you mean, what happens? Turn the thing off?
Turn it off, buddy. He's not doing anything wrong.
I just want to make sure.
Well, what happens when they call you to hair and makeup?
You go in there, and you sit in a chair, and they ask you, how you doing and all this stuff, and they start applying the makeup.
Well, what kind of makeup do they apply?
Well, I mean, they'll touch up, do a little touch-up, and sometimes what they're going to want to do is make sure... Why are you what are you playing the music now for?
Doing a little touch-up. But
you know what? Get out of here, both of you guys.
Mr. Hall's going to be upset.
Get out of here. I can't even touch-up. Okay, bang, there goes the Hollywood music and the thing with the TV. I had a good... You can get David back on, but I'm not going to listen to him telling me... David.
Look, Phil, why are you hanging up on me?
Will you knock it off with that music?
I just want to make sure you're not getting too ahead of yourself and getting, Mr. Hollywood.
Yeah, I got all the Mr. Hollywood stuff. You asked me a question, I gave you the answers, okay? Touch up, whatever. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh, you don't want to talk about it. So don't you think the producers of that show would like you to promote it?
I said New Girl on Fox. That show, by the way, is doing very well. It doesn't need Phil Henry to promote it. Thank you and good night.
Mr. Hall's going to call back and pick.
I don't care. Keep him off the air. He's had his segment, okay? We did Hooray for Hollywood. And the New Girl on Fox show is a great show, and it's doing very well. It's the hottest comedy of the year, all this good stuff. And what else do you want me to tell you, man? They're nice people. Zoe Deschanel is a very, very nice person, very professional, very sweet. Everybody makes you feel like you're welcome. And everyone is a pro, and I worked with Lamorne Morris, all of my scenes. He's a great guy, a great actor, and... He'd been around a long time. These are all young people in their, late 20s, early 30s, but they're, they've put in a pretty fair number of years to get where they are. And it's a happy set. And when I say that, you work some places, people are unhappy. You work anywhere that you work, no matter what you do for a living, You want to work around people that kind of like being there? As opposed to walking into work every morning? You ever walk into work every morning and you see these people with a sour kisser? I guess that must be like working with me, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, well, I spoke too soon. But, I mean, you know what I mean. And I had a lot of fun, so I thank those guys very, very much.
What are you doing next?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing next, whatever I get hired to do next, okay? I'm a hired gun, man.
You're like a character actor, man, right?
A what?
You're like a character actor. You know, you just pop up whenever they hire you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to be a character actor. That's my goal. My goal is just to be a character actor, yeah, just to do whatever they want me to do. I don't care.
But don't you want to have, like, be in a movie and everything?
I don't want to be the headliner. I don't need to be. I think it's a little late in my career now, man, to be thinking I'm going to be headlining any movies. All I care about is working, Jack. That's all I care about, you know, doing the best I can, working, okay? Anyway, had a great time. Thank you very much. Thank you, David, for coming on here and reminding me not to go Hollywood. And I think it's an important thing, but I certainly don't need that music blasting in my ear.
Sorry.
All right, we'll take a break here. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, and we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and we have our news and information hour coming up next hour as well.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back. We've got Bob Bakian, who is in Florida right now. We want to get on the line with Bob. He is in the Phil Henry Show news helicopter. Bob, how are you tonight?
Well, Phil, I'm doing, I guess I was to make a joke, I'm doing a lot better than Davy Jones, which is not a very good joke at all. Davy Jones, you know, lost his wife earlier today, Phil, with a heart attack. He was 66 years of age in Martin County. Davy Jones, a beloved of so many people, a member of the Bunkies for a number of years as their lead singer, and he was sort of the heartthrob of that group, was visiting a stable where he keeps a number of horses, horses that he enjoys, he and his wife, and apparently he was feeling ill. It was at that time that members of the staff decided to call paramedics. The hospital dispatched an ambulance. The ambulance arrived. Mr. Jones was taken to the Martin Boyle Hospital. It was there that he passed away, and doctors informing family members. Quite a sad day here in the By the way, I haven't heard that music. If I don't hear that music,
I'm sorry. We didn't have the music.
I was doing the very best I could. I don't recognize that. Could you start that over again, please? Because if I don't have my news music, I can't get this report out properly, all right? Now, I was working on a full head of steam, and you need to get the music up.
We need the music, bud.
Can't start the music, otherwise I'm starting. This is Bob Bakian reporting from Florida, Phil, where Davy Jones, 66, the lead singer of the teen rock group The Bunkies, was passed on of a heart attack. He was visiting his horses at a stable. Okay, there it is, yeah. And would you please remember to do that?
I'm sorry, Bob. It's just that you did very well at the beginning without the music.
Sometimes it happens. Sometimes I've had a lot of rest and I got a full head of steam up, but you know as well as I do that I must have that music in order to make myself clear, in order to sound like a human being and not something, not some kind of an ape that lives in the wild. You understand that the only thing standing between me, the only thing standing between me and becoming a Cro-Magnon without any ability at language is that music right there. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
All right, then don't ever let that music stop playing. Otherwise... Oh, did it on purpose, huh?
No, hey, bud, don't fool around with it.
I just want to see if what he was saying is true.
Let me tell you something. I'll fly to Los Angeles. I'll find you, bud. I'll turn the music off in my headphones because usually I have it on an iPod at all times. I'll go Cro-Magnon on you, and they won't be able to begin to even think about where the DNA is, let alone identifying anything else. You see what I mean? So they would only know that a human was killed here on that day. I'm Bob Bakian reporting.
Well, I guess that told you, bud, huh?
are you talking about? That guy's half bat crap.
But he said, man, if you ever got a hand on you, they wouldn't be able to find no DNA.
What do you mean they won't find no DNA?
Just what I'm saying to you is, the next time we have Bob Bakian on, you've got to make sure that his music's playing. All right. Now, I didn't even get near the amount of reporting there that I wanted. So I want you to reset the interview, okay?
Wait a minute. He already did.
Reset the interview. Don't give me a hard time about it. I want to get Bob back on the line. I want to make sure this time that his music is playing, because according to him, unless he has that music playing, he cannot make himself understood. So do you understand me?
All I'm trying to say...
Do you understand me that Bob Bakian's got to have his eyewitness news stinger? Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, then do that. Get him on the line right now.
Get him on here, the phone number.
I know the phone number. I know how to dial a phone.
All right, world famous Phil Henry Show here.
Yeah, Bob. Hi. Yeah, Bud Dickman.
Will you be quiet? Is he ready?
Yeah, he's standing by.
All right, it's time now to get Bob Bakian up on the line here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm sorry, Bob, that we were not able to get the full report out there. We do want to hear from Bob Bakian in Martin County, Florida. Go ahead, Bob.
And a very, very pleasant good evening to you, Phil, and to everybody across the United States. A very sad day indeed as Davy Jones, as you know, passed on, age 66. Davy Jones, the lead singer of the Monkees, a hit teen pop rock group that had a number of great hits. I'm a Believer, The Last Train to Clarksburg, or Clark Burton, I forget.
Clarksville.
That's what she said. I'm sorry, that's a little bit of a joke.
Hold on, Bob. I don't think joking on the occasion...
Phil, I understand. Get that music.
Bud.
Get the music.
Bud.
Get the music.
All right. I apologize.
Look, hold on for a minute. Why make a joke about this? Davy Jones was a popular performer, a beloved performer, members of my generation. You know, he was a teen idol, and that's okay, too. You know...
Well, I understand that, Phil, but why can't I have a couple of kicks? You know, why can't I show personality? You know, in my time, in my... Oh, so turn the music down, huh?
Yeah, you want some personality? I'll give you some.
I'm going to tell you, Dickman, I know where you live, I know what you look like, I know what that plate in your head looks like, and there isn't any place you can go, no place you can hide, no place that you can run. Boy, I swear to God.
Bud, don't screw around with him. He sounds serious.
Yeah, no guy that sounds pro-Magnon going to hurt me.
In any event, sir, what were you asking?
I was asking for you to have a little more respect, that's all. You know, it seems to me I've been asking people that all night. Have more respect. Have some manners. I get tired of asking you guys that.
Phil, this is Bob Bakian reporting, and you never have to ask me to have manners. I can tell you that I'm a very mannered guy.
Yeah, okay, then why is it that when you started out with the report on Davy Jones...
I just felt like it was time for me, Bob Bakian, to have my own personality. Bob Bakian reporting.
What a weird ass. God.
Yeah, man. Sound like he got to have the music and everything.
I wonder if he's got to have it playing if he goes to the bathroom number two.
Oh, well, you know, Bud, maybe what I'll have you do is hide out in a stall and find out. What a weird ass.
Who, me?
Yes, you.
What do we have to do when he's doing number two?
You know, of all the things... Yeah, Bob?
As a matter of fact, yes, I do. As Bob Bakian reporting, I've got to go to the bathroom.
Wait a minute. Keep the mic on it.
Get out of here. All right, Bob, thanks a lot for your report. And, again, Davy Jones, 66. Man, I can't believe the guy was 66.
Who's Davy Jones, anyway?
Davy Jones was a member... Didn't you hear his report?
No, who can understand what Bakian's saying? It's all garbled up. Sound Cro-Magnon, even though he's had his music.
Yeah, I gotta say, that's true.
All right, Davy Jones was... Sounds Cro-Magnon. Anyway, Davy Jones was in a group called the Monkees. And to be honest with you, even though I was very young myself, I was like 14, I was too cool to like the Monkees. I think any boy... It was a girl thing, and it was a TV show, and they were like these four cute guys that were like the Beatles, and... It turned out that they were also very talented musicians, and they went on and actually, you know, recorded some pretty decent music. All right, we'll be right back here with our News and Information Hour. Coming up, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm Bob Bakian. That's not my music, but it'll do.
Phil Hendry.